Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Good Friday service is probably the most unusual service we do all year. The candles get snuffed out, the lights get lowered, the book gets slammed. A person might come to this service just to have an experience. I've been to a few Good Friday services in my life. More often than not, I keep an eye out for something in myself, an experience, a reaction. On this day, we recall how our Lord suffered, was crucified, and died. I must confess that I've often held up a mirror to myself. Am I sad? Am I stirred? Maybe what I'm really looking for behind those questions is, do I believe? If I'm really moved, then I must have a really strong faith. I'm pleased with myself when I'm saddened. It's hard to imagine a more narcissistic thing a person could do. It's like a person being happy that something bad has happened because then he or she can get some attention, even if that attention is just from one's own self. It's like being moved to tears and then immediately running to the bathroom mirror to see what you look like in those tears. Here today we're talking about the Son of God dying because of our sin, and what am I looking for? How I'm feeling. How disgusting. But now I might say to myself, that's it, preacher, keep it up. You're disgusting. You've managed to squeeze some kind of experience out of that cold, dead soul. Let him have it. Then we can go home feeling good about how bad we felt. How shallow and disgusting. There's a line from the service of corporate confession and absolution that we used last night that I quite like. In that lengthy exhortation that I read to you, it says, it is proper that we diligently examine ourselves. And then it goes on to say, but when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death from which we are unable to deliver ourselves. No kidding. When we examine ourselves on this Good Friday, we aren't going to find anything good. Maybe we are sufficiently pleased with ourselves for how sad we feel. Maybe we are hoping for more of an experience. Regardless, however we feel is beside the point. If we are digging around within ourselves, the best conclusion we can come up with, if we want to speak the truth, is that we are sinners. Narcissistic liars. Our feelings, even at their very best, are going to be tainted. You aren't going to find any assurance of salvation in here. What on this day must be pointed out, in fact, is that Jesus does everything himself for our salvation. He didn't ask for our permission. He didn't ask for our cooperation. You can see this already at that time. His disciples at that time were certainly saved by their Lord and Savior. Jesus says so. What, however, did they contribute toward their salvation? Nothing good. On that Good Friday, they were not dependable or helpful. The closest disciples, the 11, ran away, except for John. Peter ran away after cursing and swearing they didn't know anything about this Jesus of Nazareth. Some folks might point to the women as cutting a better figure. Mary, the mother of the Lord, Mary Magdalene, and a couple other women were at the cross. As respectable as that might have been, their faith certainly didn't hold out, if nothing else. None of them believed what Jesus had told them beforehand, that he was going to rise from the dead. The reason why the women were coming to the tomb on Easter morning was not to welcome the resurrected Lord, but to finish the hasty job of preparing his body for burial that they didn't have time to do properly before the onset of the Sabbath on Friday afternoon. If we want to talk about any contribution of the disciples, it's going to be nothing but sin and death from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. But Jesus knew all this. Our salvation is not at all dependent upon us. If it were dependent upon us, we could never be sure that we've done well enough. If you put your trust in yourself and in your tender Christian feelings, then this just might come back to haunt you on your deathbed. Even if you've managed to live a somewhat outwardly respectable life, you might remember there on your deathbed how bored you were at all those Good Friday services, or what's probably worse, how pleased you were with yourself at all those Good Friday services. All glory, laud, and honor be to me. Look at me. Look how well I've done. This would be dreadful. Because you're not good enough, no matter what you might tell yourself. Our salvation was worked completely by Jesus the Christ from beginning to end. It is all Him. He became man so that He could fulfill all righteousness, so that He could suffer and die. He took upon Himself the sin of the entire world. He became the propitiating sacrifice, that means the atoning sacrifice for all sin, the punishment that the law requires for our transgressions. That punishment was placed upon Him. The law, therefore, is completely fulfilled. Jesus lived a perfect life in our place, which the law requires, which is credited to us. Jesus was punished in our place, which the law demands for our breaking of the law. The law has no claim on us anymore because Jesus has fulfilled it. We must go one step further. All people have been forgiven by what Jesus did for us. This is what Paul teaches in Romans chapter 5. He compares Jesus to Adam. Through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and through sin, death entered the world. There's no exempting yourself from that. If you are mortal, then you're a descendant of Adam, no matter how you might feel about that. Well, the same thing is true with Jesus. Paul says that we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. This is something that God did, entirely apart from you. All people have been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus. All people have been justified by His blood. Just as by one man all people sinned and are going to die, so also through the one man, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, through Him, righteousness, justification, and life is an accomplished fact for all people. Adam's action had its effect, whether you like it or not. Jesus' action had its effect, whether you like it or not. Now, our old Adam, our reason, immediately howls in protest. Wait a minute, it says. If Jesus has justified all people completely and perfectly, then why aren't all people saved? How can the Bible talk about anybody going to hell if all people are justified and forgiven by Jesus' death? That's a good question. We have a Bible verse for that. Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." The reason why not all people are going to go to heaven is because not all people believe the truth. Not all people believe that they are justified for Jesus' sake. Aha! A reason pops up again. So we do have to do our part. We do have to believe. Our reason is really inept when it comes to spiritual things. Even a earthly example can show you how stupid it is to say that we have to do our part in order to be saved. Let's say our house caught on fire. We're unconscious, laying in the bed. The fireman comes in, picks us up, carries us out to safety, and revives us. What credit is that to you, that you've been saved? You unconscious one in a burning house. What did you do? What part did you play? It was all the fireman's doing. The Bible, however, does not just describe us human beings as being unconscious. It says that we're dead. Ephesians 2 says that we are all dead and lost in our trespasses and sins. What can a dead person do? Nothing. Just sits there. God's got to do something. But that passage goes on to say, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive together with Christ. This was not our doing, it was God's doing. This shows us precisely the thing that we must come away with tonight. All people are forgiven in Christ. All people are reconciled to God by Christ's death. That's what it accomplished. Not all people are going to believe that. And so it won't be of benefit to them, but that's a different matter. The unbelief doesn't undo what God has done. What God has done is that he has worked forgiveness and justification for all people in Jesus' death. If all people are forgiven and justified by what Jesus has done, then that means that you have been forgiven and justified. But what about your sins? Well, it doesn't matter. What about how you're feeling? That doesn't matter either. There is literally nothing that you can do to undo what God has done. All people are forgiven and justified by what Jesus has done, therefore you are forgiven and justified. This is why Good Friday and Easter are such a devastating defeat for the devil. Jesus has completely demolished him and taken away all his power, taken away all his people. It's not like Jesus opened this little loophole or some crazy way that we're supposed to be saved. No, all sin is atoned for. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. The truth is on our side. Jesus has won. We are saved by Jesus' death. No doubt this is why the devil has to get so busy and lie and lie and lie some more to keep people from embracing the truth. Lies can make the truth hard to believe, because we're constantly hounded by all kinds of thoughts. We're hounded by the thought that it's too good to be true. Hounded by the thought there must be some kind of catch. Our reason wants to master how all of this can be. But our reason can't master it. We're not God. We're supposed to understand all things. Plus, our reason is fallen and sinful. So how can you expect such a defective thing as our reason to be able to understand how everything works? No, it is much better for us to stick with things that are plain and simple, things that we can understand. We can understand how Adam's sin brought about death for all people. And we can understand how Jesus' death brought about forgiveness and eternal life for all people. What we are to believe is that Jesus saved us completely and totally on Good Friday. As God's word says, God reconciled us to himself by Jesus' death. Period. That's what God did. We should have the faith of a child. That's a simple statement. Jesus has saved you by his death. You are forgiven. Eternal life is yours. Amen. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.